From high atop the ice surface at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast in the press box here. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by analyst Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus. Richard, the Winnipeg Jets fall at the hands of the Carolina Hurricanes by a 3-2 margin, and this is a game that was really... the biggest factor in this game was Cam Ward's goaltending for the Carolina Hurricanes and the lack of quality goaltending from the Winnipeg Jets. Further to that, though, had the Jets played a full 60 minutes here tonight, I think they win this game relatively handily, because we saw the last 15 minutes of the third period, they were utterly dominant, I thought.
I was happy they gave out bobbleheads for Dustin Byfuglien, because he didn't show up today. You know, he wouldn't show up. He's exhausted. You know, there's some other issues, Drew. At the end of the day, you know, we're going to talk about the goaltending, and it wasn't Montoya's sharpest performance by any means. Cam Ward was tremendous.
Yeah.
But you're playing the Carolina Hurricanes, who are a terrible team. Let's not mince words. They're a terrible team. They're coming in off the second half of a back-to-back against the Chicago Blackhawks, a game that they were in 3-2, but if you caught any of it, they weren't actually in the game. They're in 3-2. They had a chance. They played, you know, their guys played big minutes. They fly after the game. They get into town. They play tonight. And what happens? The Jets lollygag through the first half of the game. In a game that is apparently, if you think they have a chance, a must win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke. The performance was laughable. And again, you know, don't turn it on later and say, only if we did this for the whole game. That's not the NHL. Play the whole game. Come out and show some emotion. Do something.
They played well for the first 10 minutes of the game. They had a 5-on-3 opportunity. They had a power play. Had some great chances. Obviously, you mentioned Cam Ward.
Terrible period. I mean, how many chances do they have on the 5-on-3?
Well, fine. But after the...
You got a 5-on-3. Complain. All you do is complain about the refs. You got 5-on-3. You do nothing.
Well, they didn't do nothing. Let's be honest here. Brian Little should have had a goal that Cam Ward absolutely robbed.
Yeah, that was fine. Absolutely.
In the first 10 minutes of the game,
Cam Ward robbed Brian Little three times. And I appreciate that. If those two go different ways, fine. But this game, if you put any effort into the game, Carolina would have folded.
Yes.
And you didn't do that.
Well, I agree with you. If they keep that effort going for longer than the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes of the game, if they keep it consistent throughout the entire 60 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. That's a better description, the first 10 and the last 10,
yeah,
and then the last 30. But yeah, I mean, you know, the game was, the second period was awful. First period wasn't much better, just in terms of watching it as an observer. Just terrible hockey. And then the third period, well, of course, they come out desperate and play the last 20 desperate.
Sure.
What a shock. And then Carolina hardly touched the puck in the last 20 minutes.
Let me ask you. I don't know that you tracked the goal-scoring opportunities here for tonight's game. Besides the three goals that Carolina scored, how many quality scoring chances did they have? Because I bet you it wasn't another
three. Not too many. No, I agree. That's the whole point of this game.
Yeah. So I'm saying the skaters themselves...
Two of their goals were scoring chances.
Right. The skaters themselves only played the first 10 and the last 10. Another problem on top of it is that Al Montoya, who many people think is the savior in net for this team, proved tonight, Colorado on Thursday with his lousy performance, Wednesday rather.
It's one game, that was two games. But, I mean, it's consistent with you know, what we've been trying to say is that he's not all peaches and cream, you know, when you go to the backup here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, tonight it was a tough game for him. He didn't have a great game, and as compared to Cam Ward, who thoroughly outplayed him. Well, I mean, Cam Ward's a $6 million goaltender, and Al Montoya's a $500,000, $600,000 goaltender.
And
there's a reason that they get paid this money. It's not like these GMs wake up one day and say, I'm going to pay Al Montoya $3 million. There's a reason he's on one-year deals. And again, he's been good in the room. I have a lot of respect for him. He's great with the media. He comes in and does his job, but he's not a starting goalie in the National Hockey League.
You and I know this. It's just amazing to me the number of people who don't acknowledge that
just that everybody loves the backup. We've said it so often, and it's never going to change, Drew.
I know it's never going to change. The Jets got...
You like what you don't know, right? You like what you don't know, and then when you get to know, you don't like it as much.
Sure, grass is always greener on the other side, et cetera, et cetera. Euphemism. But you're right. If the Jets get C-plus goaltending in this game today...
Sure, but at the end of the day, when they...
If they put out a C-plus, if they put out an A effort
that's
and
right.
C-plus
that's
goaltending,
right. Right.
They get the win. But they couldn't do both.
Why in a game, in a must-win game before a five-game road trip against five good teams right now, four or five of which are playoff teams?
Yeah.
Okay? San Jose, Anaheim, LA,
It's the top three teams in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
Phoenix, who's right now the 8th seed, and Dallas, who's the 9th seed. That is your trip. You're playing Carolina Hurricanes, a terrible team from the Eastern Conference, so one-dimensional, second half of a back-to-back. Okay?
Yeah.
All of these things. And it requires a Paul Maurice timeout to get them going, to calm them down or motivate them. When you have to go to those measures in a game like this, that says more about the team than it does the coach or the previous coach.
The Winnipeg Jets opened the scoring at this game in the second period at the 7:48 mark. Jim Slater gets his first of the year, assist to Mark Stewart. Before we get to this goal, before we break it down, we got to talk about the couple of saves that Cam Ward made in that first period. Mm-hmm. There was two saves off Brian Little that were highlight reel saves. One of them you'll see all week long on TSN because of he stuck the paddle out and made a save. And I think I saw a quote from Brian Little, something like, "That was the best save a goalie's ever made on me in hockey," and it stuck in his head throughout for the rest of the night. You know, that's how good of a save it was for Cam Ward.
Get rid of that if you win.
Well, get rid of that if you win, of course. You're right. But, you know, so the Jets, the first period, there was no blood. But the Jets were the better. The Jets came out hard for the first 8 minutes. And had they been able to score in those first 8 minutes, I think it's a different story. But they aren't. And what do? They're mentally weak and they can't keep it going. And they get tight. And you can see it from there on.
I don't know if it's tight. I don't even know. You know, mentally weak. Are they mentally weak? Yeah, they're not mentally strong. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, then they're mentally weak. But it was just a lackadaisical performance. And again, I don't know if it's a leadership issue. And I don't want to target guys because I don't think that's really it. I think there's just a core that's not big enough in terms of leaders. You know, the guys who lead need help. And there's a lot of passengers here. And when the going gets tough, this team seems to kind of fall by the wayside, and it was like evident again tonight. And I can't restate it enough. Mm-hmm. You look at the first goal, Drew. I mean, you look at the first goal; it's a good start. You get the first goal. You get the lead. Jim Slater wins a draw, I believe, against Riley Nash. Jim Slater goes to the net. Mark Stewart takes a shot. Pat Dwyer doesn't get out to Stewart in time to block the shot. And then in a coverage issue, it looked like in Carolina. Hey, I'll tell you right now, another reason why I'm saying this, because the coverage, Carolina's terrible coverage at times in the neutral zone and in the defensive zone. What happens here is Riley Nash usually would take his man, Jim Slater.
Loses the draw, doesn't take his man.
Lets him go, and I don't know if that's part of their coverage, but none of the defensemen pick him up either. And what happens there is Slater gets a stick free and makes a nice tip, and it's 1-0. So, you know, Harrison was closest guy to Slater, but you wonder why Nash didn't have it. In any event, a nice job by Jim Slater, wins the draw. He's good on the draw, we know that. Goes to the net, gets a stick on the puck. Stewart gets a shot through. Everybody does their job there.
Right.
That's that old Al Davis, do your job, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Good for Jim Slater, gets his first of the year. Of course, he first game back from the injury, and of course, he became a father. So, you know, that's something he'll always remember.
Absolutely.
So good for him in that instance. Jets, you know, again, they can impose their will on the Carolina Hurricanes if they want. The Hurricanes have nothing to play for. It takes all of 37 seconds for the Carolina Hurricanes to tie the game.
And that's another thing, you know, if you're speaking as a person watching these games, is how many times have we seen that play? Honestly, how many times have we seen that play? It's like it's a broken record.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's been, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I bet you it's been 10 times this year where the Jets have scored, maybe not 10, that seems high. But I bet it's been more than five, I bet, where the Jets have scored, and within a minute or 2 minutes later, the opposition has come back to tie the game or score
another
goal.
Whatever it is, Al Montoya turns the puck over here behind the net, an unforced error, and then everybody's running around trying to make up for it. But at the end of the day, Montoya's turnover, and it's a bank shot by
It's an open net,
if that was a bank shot I was after. Open net for Eric Staal.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave Eric Staal with an open net. I don't know if you do.
I don't. The guy's played on the Olympic teams for a reason.
Yeah.
It's because he's a good player. And, I mean, exactly. I mean, Montoya just butchers the play from the start. The team can't recover. He's floundering around in his crease trying to get back. He just didn't look confident.
He was fighting the puck all night, playing the puck and with his body.
Yeah.
And you like to see him succeed because, you know, as you said, it's a good soldier. But yeah, no, tonight was not his finest moment.
No. 1-1 at the 8:25 mark of the second period. 2 minutes later, just a bit under 2 minutes later, Jordan Staal gets his 15th of the year, assist to Andre Sequeira and John Michael Lyles. It's on a power play for the Carolina Hurricanes. And I'll tell you what, the seas of the Winnipeg Jets parted on this goal. as Sakara hit Stahl with the pass. And I don't know what the defense was doing. In this instance, it was Trouba and Stewart on the ice killing the penalty. But they left way too much room between the two of them at the Jets' blue line. And Jordan Stahl, again, you know, might not have developed into the second overall pick that he was, or does a lot of things, you know, better than maybe goal scoring, but the guy was the second overall pick for a reason. It's because if you give him a breakaway, he's likely going to capitalize on it.
Yeah, you know, Drew, this is a penalty kill mistake by the Jets, and we have to give them credit because they've been so good on the penalty kill. This is just a breakdown in coverage and probably caught a little bit of sleep at the wheel against a team that really isn't too threatening. I mean, aside from the turnover, hadn't really created much offense, if any. And you see a cross-ice pass from Lyle Sakara, and Sakara skating the puck up the ice. And because, you know, kind of the play didn't really develop from behind the net, it was kind of a slow-developing play, so no real speed. You see Jordan Stahl create speed by himself by curling up the left side. What he does is he curls up. And the Jets have one forward up in the zone and one forward back. So when you're talking about Trouba and Stewart along the blue line, you're talking about Stewart and Trouba along the blue line, but you're also talking about Olli Jokinen, I believe it was, in the middle of the blue line.
It was Jokinen, okay? Yeah.
So they line up like that. And so what happens is, on a play like that, Frolika's up the ice. There's a little bit of a gap between Frolik and the other players, which, depending on how you want to look at it, not necessarily the worst thing, but you want to be able to create pressure and speed and move the puck where you want to. So what happens here, though, is the three Jets are lined up too far apart. Mm-hmm. And you alluded to the defenseman being lined up too far apart. The Jets are lined up too far apart. So what does that mean? Well, that means that if you come with speed and they're flat-footed at the blue line, okay, what happens?
You're on your heels.
You go by.
Yeah, the guy's going to skate past you.
But what you want to be able to do is close that gap, meaning the defenseman move a little bit closer to Jokinen, so if you try and go through the middle, you can't, and you turn the puck over. JP Vigée of 1290 and the Free Press articles has talked about that as well, because you want to be able to force turnovers at the blue line or force a dump in. Mm-hmm. So what they, and that's what they've been doing very well, but they don't do that here. So if Trouba and Stewart are closer together, meaning closer to Jokinen, what happens? Either they turn it over in the middle on that play, or they force a pass to the outside. But they're all standing still. They're not really pressuring the puck, and Carolina has speed. So you better be tight in terms of your positioning if you're flat-footed against speed.
Yeah.
So that's just a mistake. Caught a little bit of sleep at the wheel, all three of those guys, really. But I guess you'll see. But, you know, you can't say only Jokinen and Trouba because they all have to move in unison.
Right.
They didn't do that here.
The whole unit here is responsible, but it's...
Yeah, the whole unit here is responsible, and it's been a great penalty kill.
Right.
You know, a tough goal at a tough time.
Yeah, it was a... And so that made it 2-1 for Carolina. That's two goals in just under 2 minutes. Might as well make it three goals in under 3 minutes, because, you know, we're... I don't even know what we're doing here. Riley Nash gets his 9th of the year, assist to Jeff Skinner and Pat Dwyer on this one. Another just boneheaded play by Montoya. He's fighting the puck. He's not able to cover it.
Not boneheaded. I think boneheaded, Drew, would be like turning it over in an idiotic decision. Here, he's just struggling.
Okay.
You know, like he's just can't pin the puck and doesn't know where it is. Wasn't feeling it all night, as they say.
Yeah.
And turns it over. Nash goes around and banks it in. You want to say, oh, LRB or Party. Party's side, but LRB is closer. Should have got it. I mean, you can't blame those guys. They think he's got to cover the puck. And then they go behind the net. He doesn't even get in front of the net. He just banks it in. It's Montoya's turnover. Montoya's bad, and you know, and again, two of the three goals tonight are just Montoya's mistakes, mm-hmm. and then the other one is just a coverage error. So, but hey,
yeah,
you don't ask how you win or lose; just ask if you win or lose.
Carolina's going to take it. They're going to say thank you very much for showing up. I mean, the Jets in the the Jets were outshot in the second period, 21-8.
I mean, it's a disgrace.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just a bad situation. You shouldn't be outshot like that by the Carolina Hurricanes on a home ice in an instance where you can't afford to lose the game. Start after 40 minutes, the Jets are down by 2.
Right.
They come out strong, as you would expect a team to do in this instance.
Yes, of course.
Brian Little finally is able to beat Cam Ward in this game. His 21st of the year. Assist to Michael Frolik on this one. Sort of a modified 2-on-1 after a turnover deep in the Hurricane zone. And Frolik with a nice pass to Little, and he's able to beat Ward this time.
Well, Frolik comes in the zone, curls back, puts the puck in deep, and then actually ends up, instead of staying high, pressures the puck on the boards. He has a nice job of reading the play, when to pressure and when not to pressure. And he pressures the puck, comes up with it, beats Justin Falk off the boards. Justin Falk, as a note, did not have a good game.
No.
And was beat a number of times. Justin Falk gets beat by Frolik, and when he gets beat by Frolik, Sakara, who's his partner, comes to help him.
Who I thought had actually a pretty decent game.
Yeah, it was a good game. So we get Kara comes to help him, And then Sequeira moves over. The pass goes cross-ice to Little. And the puck's in the back of the net. Little finally gets his goal. Mm-hmm. But the point is there is, you know, the play is made by Frolik making a smart play to get it deep, smart play to pick it up, smart play, it's a good play to get it off to beat Falk, and you create a chance for Little. So, you know, sometimes assists are tip off of a skate, and sometimes they're created by a lot of good decisions. And right there, Michael Frolik made a lot of good decisions.
Exactly right. The Jets pressed. They really did control the play for the majority of the third period. Especially the last 10 minutes, Carolina could barely get it out of their own
zone. Well, they had the waved off goal, too.
Yeah, Mark Stewart had scored. The official on the ice ruled that it was a goaltender interference. No goal, no penalty, just an incidental goaltender interference. Dustin Byfuglien lying on Cam Ward will tend to do that.
Yeah,
your thoughts on it?
I'm fine with the call. It better not have been a penalty, because I didn't think it was a penalty, but Byfuglien falls over Ward in the crease. So he was skating in the crease when he fell on him. That didn't go in his that certainly didn't turn the tides in his favor. Falls on Ward. I didn't think it was a penalty. It was incidental, but he was on him or close to him and in the crease when the puck was shot. The goal is the refs are generally going to call that one back. Not always. It's, you know, there isn't a lot of consistency night in, night out, but the refs are usually going to call that back, and that's what happened there. So a lot more blown opportunities than that one tonight.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the Winnipeg Jets, they did have their opportunities to capitalize above beyond that disallowed goal. They weren't able to do it, and as a result, they fall 3-2 at the hands of the Carolina Hurricanes tonight here at MTS Center.
And now the question is, and Remus thought I was done there. The question is, you know, they're a 5-game road trip. Do they win any of these games?
Well, I mean,
do they show? That's the question. Because they didn't show tonight. So do they show for all these games?
I have trouble believing it. I mean, based on what you saw tonight, I have trouble believing it. We'll find out Monday when the Jets head to Dallas for the first of their 5-game road trip. In terms of time on ice, worth noting, Zach Bogosian did not come back after, I believe, the second period. He left with what the team described as an upper body injury. That's what he missed the game against Colorado with, so that's something worth monitoring to see if he's able to make the road trip to Dallas or play on Monday against the Dallas Stars. In terms of the defensive pairings were all a little bit jumbled. As a result, Toby Enstrom played the most, 24 minutes and 49 seconds. Jacob Trouba next at 22-22 for the Winnipeg Jets. In terms of the forwards, it appears as though Blake Wheeler led the way, 21 minutes and 37 seconds, followed by Brian Little, 21-29, Andrew Ladd, 20-55. Disappointing loss for the Winnipeg Jets, as they needed this game against the Carolina Hurricanes, but they fall at the hands of a 3-2 score. Stay tuned for audio from both the Jets dressing room and the Carolina Hurricanes dressing room, courtesy of our friends Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manouk. Monday night, the Jets next in action in Dallas. Wednesday night, NHL midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. For my colleagues Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks very much for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve Postgame Podcast.